Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, November 2nd, 2009. This is Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo could not make it this week, so you get me again. You get me going solo, and I'm doing something a little bit different this time. We'll see if it actually works out or not. See, I am not in my home office right now, doing my little thing in front of my computer. I am in my car, having just dropped Amy off at her school, on my way to work on Monday morning, using my iPhone to record, so you'll get probably a little bit of street noise.
I don't know.
And anyway, that's where I am. And one of the reasons I am doing this right now, well, one is because I can, and I didn't record it last night because there was other stuff going on. Yeah, but whatever. But just to try to make it relevant, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because one of the things I wanted to talk about was GPS navigation. Now, I was a fairly early adopter of using GPSs for my cars and such. I remember back, had to have been late 90s even, maybe 2000, but I think late 90s. I remember getting a Garmin GPS 3, and I think it was called GPS Map 3, maybe it was. I remember it being one of the first ones where you could get a unit that had a map included instead of just an arrow pointing where you wanted to go. And I remember being excited to get it. You had to load maps for your little region because it couldn't fit the whole country. It knew about roads. They showed up on the map, but it didn't know how to route you on them. So when you were navigating somewhere, it would still just point an arrow in your direction. So it was a handheld unit, mainly intended for use hiking and stuff. It just happened to have those maps. And I would use them for all kinds of little adventures, shall we say. First of all, I did use them day to day to get back and forth to where I was going. I would look at the little map, I would have follow the arrow and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I would also, choose sort of little random trips around my area within 30 miles or so to explore and get to know the area better than I did, because I had only not that long previously moved to New Jersey and I didn't know the area. So I used it to explore a lot and found, you know, all kinds of interesting stuff. And, you know, I'd also use it to try to get from place A to place B on back roads instead of the highways, which was always one of the things I had lots and lots of fun with. Oh, we're on the highway now, so the noise might be louder. I had a lot of fun with that, and I upgraded it over time to a unit with a better screen and more memory, and then the GPS Map 3 Plus, I believe it was, and then I finally got one that actually had color and knew about roads and things like that, and that was great. I used it all the time, and blah, 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 and then it slowly started dying. Its screen got a little yellow splotch on it. It was at first just a few pixels, but grew over time until it was a larger and larger splotch. Eventually, it was obscuring a good portion of the screen. I, of course, insisted on continuing to use it anyway. Budget at that time didn't really allow replacing it, so, you know, I kept using it and using it and using it until finally, when it was time for me to move from Florida to Washington State, I was cleaning out my car for my car to be moved, and I put the GPS along with a bunch of other stuff that was in a car in like a big trash bag, and put that in the car. And when I moved myself to Washington State, it didn't take the GPS with me because I was like, you know, I don't know where the discs are right now to load the new regions for Washington State on, because I still had to do that at that point. And it's got the big yellow splotch, and so, you know, and I'm going to have a new job, so very soon I'm going to get a new GPS anyway. And so, you know, I went My iPhone just turned off, and I don't know. There we go. Hey, there we go. I hate how the screen goes dim. Anyway, that was one of the biggest mistakes I made. You know, I was not happy about not having my GPS over the next period of time, because I never did end up getting a new one, or at least not for a long, long time. And I was without it, and, you know, this is the time where I probably needed it most. I was in a new place, you know, I would want to explore and stuff. I was still with just me without the rest of the family, and I had nothing. And I got increasingly bitter about that over the years. But, you know, it was still never in the budget. There were always more important things. We were moving. We had the house in Florida hadn't sold yet, and so we were on a really tight budget. And then we were sending Amy to school, and then this, and then that. And there was, hello, music. And there was never, you know, there was never a good opportune moment. Then Brandy's mom got me a budget GPS for Christmas one year. And that actually, you know, I really appreciate the sentiment, but it really got me upset too, because it wasn't the GPS I wanted. It wasn't even from the maker that I want. Like, I'm a big Garmin aficionado. I like them. But, and it was a TomTom, and it was the bottom-of-the-line TomTom, which I understand. Okay, she was getting me a budget one, that's okay, but could it at least have been the budget Garmin? Anyway, I used it for a while. It died completely in less than a year. It just stopped powering up properly. And it was okay. I liked it, but it was no Garmin. And then I've been without again since it died. For almost a year, and I've sort of dealt with it, and, you know, I've been keeping track on a wiki page somewhere about, you know, all the different models at different price ranges, and, you know, what's popular right now and what's not, and, you know, with a look towards which one I would buy if I could buy right now. And, at any given moment, I've had one in mind that, you know, if the budget allowed, I would go grab that. And, you know, we're not talking a huge amount here, we're talking a few $100. Generally, the one I want right now that just came out as a new one is like $400-some, but generally the one I've wanted has been in the $300 range. But, you know, there's been more important things, and I just couldn't justify it, because I don't really need it, you know. I can get by without it. It's okay. I just want it. And so, you know, things that we need come before things that we want. You know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, about a month ago, the game started to change. And there are a couple of things that have happened. And so, I'm going to take a break, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. So we'll be right back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way.
I got a dance.
Dancing in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620. And in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, the Valley.
Okay, so what happened a couple months ago? Well, obviously I've got an iPhone, and ever since iPhone 3.0 came out, some navigation apps started coming out for the iPhone. So they had a few problems though. One, they generally were expensive, like the TomTom one cost almost $100. There are a couple others in the $30-$40 price range, but when you get to those, you're sort of like, well, first of all, at the $99 level, you are already at the price of the budget standalone GPSs, especially if you're looking at the older models that go in on clearance or whatever, and you're talking about roughly equivalent functionality. But even at the $30, $40 price range, you start to think, well, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but my iPhone, when I'm in the car, I have it plugged in, I'm using it for music, I'm using it for podcasts, you know, do I really want, if I'm using it for GPS, do I lose that, what do I do? Also, you know, generally I had, you know, my phone was just, you know, sitting in the cup holder or on a chair next to me or something, not in real line of sight for GPS. So, you know, I never even tried those expensive apps. They just, the equation just wasn't working it for me. Because I figured, you know, if I'm going to be spending this kind of, if I'm going to be spending any serious amount of money whatsoever, I'm going to buy a real GPS. So then a new GPS app came out called Motion X Drive. And here's the thing, it was $3. Now, there's a recurring price for the navigation, but you don't buy a subscription, like, I think it's like $3 a month or something like that, for turn by turn. The app will do other things, other more limited things without that, but $3 a month or something. You know, and I bought the initial, and it comes with the first month, so I bought the thing, and I started trying it out. And my initial reactions, I admit, were somewhat negative. It was slow. I have a 3G, not a 3GS. It was kind of slow. It was took a while to calculate what it was doing. Took a while to load up its maps. So like the first few days I was using it, I would drive somewhere and it would tell me to turn after I'd already passed the thing. And that is kind of useless. And also, it had a little built-in music playing thingy-bob, but it's kind of sucks. And it never seemed to get the volume right between the talking directions and the song. So if you had the song a good volume, the talking would be really, really loud. And I'm sure there was a way to deal with that. But I started... The performance in terms of how long it took to tell you to turn, I don't know if it was warming up a cache or what, but it got better over time. I just turned off the voice prompts entirely and just used the map, and then it coexists much better with the music. I got a little stand for like $15 maybe that hooks my iPhone into my car vents. And holds it in just the right position, because before, like, sitting on a chair or whatever, it wouldn't be getting a signal, and I certainly wasn't going to be driving very long with, you know, holding it in my hand so it could see the sky. And once all of those things are in place, and also I got some other little doohickeys to make it nicer when it's mounted in the car, but... Anyway, once all of that was in place, it's fairly adequate. I would not say it kicks ass. It is not the best navigating, like, I think it's probably about the same as the Garmin unit I had 4 years ago in my car, in terms of how well it can do basic things, but it's more than adequate for occasional use to get somewhere you don't know. It works pretty well. Now, the way I tend to use GPS obsessively, making sure it's on every single trip, no matter what I do, downloading track logs, all this kind of crap. Okay, it can't do all that. It's also not as flexible. Its 2D mode isn't as good. A bunch of things like that. However, it immediately became clear that there are some game-changing things happening here. Because it is always on, connected to the grid. And in fact, one of its deficiencies is it gets its maps and downloads them directly every time. Well, it caches some, but if you go off-grid, if you go somewhere where there is no signal, you're going to have trouble because it relies on the network to do a lot of things. So, you know, 0.12 standalone units still being needed. But the always-on connectivity means that things like map updates are immediate. It means that searches for items aren't some stale point of interest database. It's going up live on the internet and searching. This app uses Bing. And it, you know, it takes into account live traffic, although it doesn't show it. So, I don't know. But it supposedly takes into account, although I'm still looking for a time where it's routed me somewhere different than usual. It hasn't happened to me yet. But, you know, all of these things are critical pieces. And if you look back at, what was it called? The Dash. The Dash was one of the first connected GPSs out there, if not the first connected GPS. And one of the things it could do is it would constantly upload your traffic and would take that into account, traffic models, which allowed it to start having traffic information for things other than major highways in major cities, which was a major advance, but they went out of business. Because from what I gather, everything else sucked. But anyway, so now this little Motion X app is pretty cool. I'm using it on a fairly regular basis now, as I navigate around using my phone. I still have issues with it occupying my device. I can't do other things with my device while I'm navigating as easily. Now, I'm driving, so, you know, it's not like I'm going to be playing Scrabble or anything. Well, not usually. But, you know, I do like to, you know, have more music control than I do within the app. And I got a little button, external remote control thing, so I can hit next and stuff. But still, you know, there's still a number of things where standalone would be better. It's still got some speed issues. It's still got some startup time issues. But having it on and connected in that way, clearly a game changer. Which, of course, brings us to this last week's big news in this space. Which, of course, is Google. And we will talk about this more after this next break. We'll be right back.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. 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 Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
So, Google. The big announcement this last week was Android 2.0, which is Google's phone operating system, or also other mobile devices, not just phones. And one of the features, and the big feature, well, it's got a bunch of big features, but the big feature for my purposes right now, is turn-by-turn navigation for free as a built-in feature of Android. And not just any turn-by-turn navigation, but in addition to your standard navigation, they've got satellite view, they've got street view, they've got, again, live searching of Google's place database for places. They've got the live traffic, and again, one of the things that Google Maps did a few months ago was do what Bing had done. And whenever anybody were using the Google Maps applications in any of their mobile devices, it was relaying that traffic information with permission back up to the mothership to give additional traffic information, not just on major highways, but on secondary streets where there was enough traffic that Google had an idea what was going on. and that comes into this equation. And did I mention it's free? Free with the device anyway. And subsequently, they've said, yes, indeed, they are working on the iPhone version of this. Because, you know, Android has a lot of interesting things going for it, but it certainly has not yet had the level of market penetration that iPhones do. So, the stock of all the companies who make GPS, standalone GPS devices, plummeted the day this was announced. Because this changes the game entirely. Because all... Now, the initial Google turn-by-turn application has some holes in it. If you buy a high-end, $300-some-dollar, $400-some-dollar standalone GPS unit, you will get features that are not in there. But it also has features they don't have. And they're going to update it over time. And it will get better and better and better. And you will not have to buy a new device. Well, eventually you'll have to buy a new device for some features. But it'll update itself software over the air. You're not going to have to go and take your GPS unit out of your car, go plug it back into your computer, do all this kind of stuff, which you have to do on the standalone units and which lots of people don't do because of that. And the live data is just going to be a killer. Will there still be uses for standalone GPS devices? Yes. But there's nothing stopping Google from making one of those too. I mean, the big advantages I see, by the way, are to a standalone, are making sure you have all your maps loaded in the unit so that if you don't have network, you're still okay. And having it simply be a separate unit, that in itself is an advantage. Oh, I'm going through a tunnel, more noise. That by itself is an advantage because as much as multi-purpose devices are great, I have other things besides GPS that I would love to be using my my device for. If I get a phone call, I want to be able to deal with that and not lose my navigation. You know, I want to be able to mess around with my music. And of course, I would never do this while driving, but perhaps my passenger would want to read some text messages or some emails that I have received while I was driving. Okay, it says I'm not recording, so I'm going to hit stop, and we'll see if it is. Okay, it was recording. It was just lying, and it says it's zero link, but you can play it, so I figure I'll have it. So, anyway, to continue, and I'm going through another tunnel. The standalone is an advantage, because I can leave it in my car, I can have it there, I can have it dedicated. And in fact, like a lot of the standalone GPS makers were doing things like throwing picture viewers and MP3 players and all this kind of stuff into their GPSs. And every time they did, my only reaction was, you've got to be kidding, right? You know, even the hands-free phone functionality they were including on some of those. Really? Like, I wouldn't use that, you know? I've got a device that does those things better. The fact that Google is doing this and throwing their weight behind it and potentially giving it away for free is going to drastically change this industry. I mean, you could see the writing on the wall anyway. The GPS chips were getting cheaper and cheaper. They were getting included in more and more things. It's kind of only a matter of time. But what's happening at this point is, if you're a standalone GPS maker, your potential audience just went from everybody who drives to only those people who really need some of the more advanced features that you can get, or who really need the dedicated standalone because they can't share it with their other device because of reason A, B, or C. And frankly, the more advanced features one is something that that gap is going to close quickly. So you're really only going to be left with the people who really, for whatever reason, want their own standalone device that they can, don't have to mix with anything else, and they can leave in their car. And this doesn't even include the people that have built-in GPSs in their car, which the only advantage of those, as far as I can see, is a bigger screen, because the software generally isn't as good, and it you can't upgrade it as easily as buying a new device every once in a while, or now with the Google stuff, just updating the program on your phone periodically. Anyway, changes everything. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. At this very moment, I still want my nice little $400 standalone GPS device. It has a few features that I still don't get on my little Motion X thingy, and that from what I've read aren't necessarily in the Google device, and it's a separate unit, and all of that, but it becomes really, really hard to argue that it's worth the extra dollars. I mean, right now, what I get on the little app I have on my iPhone right now for $3-4 a month gives me 90-95% of what I would ever actually need from a GPS. Maybe, you know, honestly, maybe even 100% of what I would need from a GPS, as opposed to what I would want from a GPS to play with and to do extra geeky things that, like, somebody like me would do, but the normal person never would. So, you know, right now I still want the $400 device because of those extra little geeky factors. But when the Google device, when the Google version of this comes out for the iPhone, maybe that gap goes down even more. And when the standalone device doesn't have traffic on secondary roads, but the program on my iPhone does, yeah, okay. Now it's not looking so good anymore. Once the program on the iPhone adds some of the additional features that are missing, you know, multi-location routing, whatever, you know, saving of track logs, detailed route preferences so that, you know, I can tell it, you know, what kinds of roads I like to go on, blocking certain areas, saying I don't want to go there, yeah, all these kinds of fun things. The argument becomes very, very thin, and I would find it almost impossible to justify spending any more on a standalone device. The standalone part of it is still nice, but, you know, anyway. So, that's about it on that topic. I've probably rattled on about it way longer than anybody listening actually cares. And I am pulling into work right now for our parking garage. So I'll have to sign off. Now, should I? You know, I will. You know, I'm not going to sign off completely yet. We're going to take another break. You'll listen to another thing. And during that break, I'm going to have my entire day at work. And then I'll talk to you again while I'm driving home tonight. And then whatever's done at the end of that, there you go. That'll be the show. Thanks for listening to the first half of this episode of Curmudgeon's Corner. As I get ready to pull into my parking space, here we go. Wait. Oh, I'm on the upper deck of the parking garage, which is where I like to park. And now I am pulling into my space. I am now in my space. I did not hit the wall, which is good. Parking brake on. And now we will take a break. And after this, we'll talk about something other than GPSs. Thanks, everyone.
By Miriam Bird Greenberg. This is the curmudgeon's.
The year of drought was followed by the year of locusts, the year of grass fires, the year when daffodils threaded with cyanide seeds got all the goats. Then it was the 17-year cicadas. Next, the two moons in the sky looking askance with their white eyes like a rabbit shucked of its skin in one fluid motion. The year of my fleabait boyfriend with his flock of coonhounds. The year my father took a long swig from a can of Sterno and didn't make it back up the basement steps. The year Jenny got lockjaw, turned stiff and gray as an old board. Cats got the kitchen mice, but a possum got the cats and some chickens too. And Bill shot the possum, but didn't count on the kick, broke his collarbone like a hacksaw gone toothless. At the end of 12 days, ants had got the possum and maggots and 15 kinds of fly, and we all sat on the porch where the boards hadn't rotted through, drinking gin out of old jam jars as the sun sank behind grain elevators. Then Grandma excused herself, and Lolly, who'd been the hired hand for about 100 years, left after her, and when I got up for the kitchen, I saw from the corner of my eye him brushing hair out of her face, and she had her hand on his waist, and I knew both would be gone by next year, and the well caved in besides.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org, with a new poet each week, and a new poem every weekday.
So here it is, about 9 hours later, for me, like a minute or two later for you. Anyway, it is now November 3rd, 2009, UTC, and it's a little after, it's about 3:30 UTC. Now, usually, I usually leave, what's the right way to put this? I left work an hour later today than I would have a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. And why is this? Oh, hold on as I swipe my thing to get out of the garage. Swipe, swipe. Here we go, swipe. The little bar is opening. I can drive out. Okay, so why did I leave work later? Well, you all know, it's because we went back from daylight savings time to standard time. And so that means it is time for my hemiannual complaint about this stupid, stupid thing. Now, okay, I understand. Look, no one actually thinks you change the amount of daylight you have by doing this time change. The whole thing is a mass attempt to trick everybody into doing things earlier in the summer and later in the winter. And because you can't actually tell them, do this later in the winter and earlier in the summer, you tell everybody, change your clocks. It's magic. You know, you're doing everything at the exact same time you always were. Really, really you were. It's the clocks that are changing. Yes, that's it. You know, I understand the desire. Basically, what they're trying to do is make it so that when you wake up and when you start being productive is somewhat in tune with when the sun comes up. Because the sun, of course, changes what time it comes up over the course of, you know, the year. And that's perfectly normal. That's, you know, hey, that's how the planet works. But, you know, if that's what you really want, then make it explicit. You know, have a clock system that starts at zero when the sun rises. And each day is a slightly different length of time. We have the technology that could do that now, but it's stupid! Unless you have a job that actually requires the sun in a specific way, it doesn't matter. You know, you do it in the, when the sun's up, when the sun's down, when it's raining, when it's snowing, when it's whatever, it's, why does it matter? Okay, fine. Oh, you want to take the kids to school while it's light outside. Okay, I understand. That makes a difference. Okay, fine. Then make it later. You know, just change what time you're doing things. Make school start at 9 instead of at 8 or 10 instead of 9. Whatever, you know. You can make those changes, but stop pretending you're changing the damn time. The time is not changing. What's changing is when you do things. And it just happens you're messing with the clock on the wall. And don't even get me started on time zones in general. And why there's also no real good reason other than historical for why the whole freaking world doesn't use. You know, I got an incoming call and it stopped the recording. That really annoys me. And it wasn't even an incoming call I wanted. It was like some random company that I do business with, and amazingly enough, not one I owe money to. But they call periodically with like a poll to see like how I'm doing. And it's an automated thing, so I just completely ignore it all the time. You know, if it was a real human, I might think about it. But anyway, also, while I was gone, I realized that I had said something wrong. It is not about 3:30 UTC, it's about 2:30 UTC, which I don't know how I got wrong, because I was staring at my clock on my iPhone, which is in UTC, at the time I said that, and so my eyes must have been blurry, and I saw a 3 when there was a 2. Anyway, my point is, what I was talking about when I was so rudely interrupted was, there's really no reason for time zones either. Because you get used to, like, for instance, I know, this time of year, now that I'm doing everything an hour later, I usually get into work around 1800 UTC, and I usually leave around 0200 UTC. And it's, you know that, you get used to it. If everybody agreed on that time, you'd get used to it pretty damn fast. And if you move somewhere else and they want to do things later because that's when the sun's up, hey, good on them. And you get used to that too. You know, so time zones are stupid, but savings time is even stupider. I don't even understand how it made sense back in the days where it was originally created, but it certainly doesn't make sense anymore. Just stop it. Stop pretending. Stop futzing with the time. The time is the time is the time. It doesn't change a couple times a year because the government says so. You know, it just doesn't. And it doesn't really change when you fly around the world either. The sun comes up at a different time. The sun goes down at a different time. And people adapt their behaviors based on that. But guess what? It's a different time. It's not that because you moved somewhere else, 7 o'clock is still when the sun comes up or whatever. No. It's just, no. Wrong. It's just stupid. Anyway, that was my hemi-annual rant about savings time and time zones. Thank you very much for listening. We'll now take another break, and then maybe I'll talk about one more thing before, you know, I actually get home and my commute is over and I declare this podcast done. Okay, enjoy your break. Okay, I meant to hit stop, but I didn't. So enjoy your break.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classics celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, so for any of you following along on a map, I left Beacon Hill in Seattle, and I'm now on Mercer Island, going on I-90 east towards Bellevue. Anyway, what else is there to talk about? The healthcare thing is chugging along. Things happened in Afghanistan. The opposition candidate pulled out of the runoff election because it was going to be just as unfair as the first time around, and so they declared Karzai the winner. Obama was, it looked like he was waiting for the election results to announce what he was going to do, so he may end up doing that early, I don't know, maybe not, but it certainly makes the case for doing things that support the existing Afghan government a lot weaker, because they're just not seen as legitimate by a large portion of their population, as, I don't know, I've said before on this show that if I was him, I'd just pull out, but he's probably going to be much more careful and do some sort of middle ground thing. I just worry that that's going to get us into a bigger mess. Let's see, what else? I don't know. There's not really much I'm excited about. The net neutrality stuff is coming up as well. Yeah, I can talk a little bit about project planning. Yeah, does anybody care? No. So, you know, we're, as usual, I'm dealing with, as part of my job, the whole thing where you plan a project, you figure out how much time it's going to take, approximately, you make plans around that, you make commitments around that, and you try to get better each time you do it in terms of your accuracy of prediction. And you know, my team, we've been overcommitting a little bit. So this month we're hopefully undercommitting a little bit because I really want to get done more than what we're undercommitting for. But you know, it's a black art, and you can get better over time. You know, it's interesting stuff. I wouldn't call it fun stuff. I wouldn't call it stuff that lots and lots of people would care about. So, since this isn't a project management podcast, I'm not going to talk about that stuff. No, not at all. We had Halloween. We had almost no trick-or-treaters. It was very disappointing. We had, like, 5 or 6 groups, maybe. And at least half of those were teenagers who didn't even bother to get dressed up, which is really, really lame. So, if you're a teenager, don't do that. But there were a couple cute kids. We had some decorations out. We didn't have the smoke machine because we were out of smoke juice and nobody had it at the last minute. We had a strobe light out. That was fun. I had the webcam pointing out at those people doing a time lapse so you can see the trick-or-treaters. Well, you can't anymore. By the time you get this podcast, it would have rolled off because I only keep the last day on there. Anyway, I'm obviously rambling. Because I was going to talk until I got home, but I've probably got another 3 or 4 minutes and I don't really have a lot of stuff to talk about, you know? So I should probably just wrap it up. So, you know, rather than trying to stretch this another few minutes and talk about more stuff that nobody cares about, since I lost you all on the GPS stuff anyway, I will just say thank you for joining us for Curmudgeon's Corner. Hopefully next week, Yvonne Bo will be back with us. It's always fun to have two of us ranting. And for that matter, hopefully this thing I did, recording in the car, will actually work and I'll be able to string the pieces together and make it sound not too crappy. And the engine noise won't be too overwhelming. But, you know, whatever. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any thoughts, comments, questions, all of that stuff, or post on abelsmay.com on the when I post an announcement of a new episode. Comment there. That's a good thing, too. Thank you for everybody. We appreciate your listenership. Please tell your friends. And that's it for this week. Goodbye, everybody. Enjoy the week and talk to you next time. Goodbye. Okay, it once again didn't stop. So I'll try that again. See, that's what happens when you're driving and you try to punch the button when without even actually looking at it. So let's try this again because I'm stopped at a stoplight right now. So see you next week. Goodbye. If anybody's still there, I just pulled into my parking space at home, or my driveway. Yay! I'm home. Woo. Okay, bye.